At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Students Incorporated. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Join me weekly as my team and I produce content that's informative, positive, fun, and uplifting. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok. Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm joined today by co-hosts Mia and Frank. In today's episode, we'll be introducing several more new podcast team members, followed by exploring the phrase back in the day with several educators who are, let's just say, seasoned and can speak on authority about this saying. And maybe they have used this phrase before or a phrase similar when talking to students who are much younger than they are. But before we get into this segment one, let's hear our quote of the day and get some headline news.
Our quote of the day comes from Albert Einstein. He's quoted to have said, "I never think of the future. It will come soon enough." This quote highlights the value of focusing on the present rather than being preoccupied with the future, because time never stops moving forward. So there's no need to worry about what's to come. Instead, we should live in the moment and enjoy what we can. While planning for future is important, the future can be dictated, but that doesn't mean it can't be steered into the direction we want. So make smart decisions, because the decision made today can shape tomorrow. And that's our quote of the day. Now on to some headline news with Mia.
Thank you for our quote of the day, Frank. Now, because this episode is focused on back in the day, we're bringing you three news headlines from the past, from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Now, our first headline comes from NASA. In April 17, 1970, the Apollo 13 crew, which includes James Lovell, John Swigert, and Fred Hayes, made a successful return to Earth after their spacecraft was crippled by an explosion 205,000 miles away. Forced to use the lunar module as a lifeboat, the astronauts endured freezing conditions and navigated back home, splashing down safely in the South Pacific. The mission, intended to land on the moon, became a dramatic survival story, with the world watching as the crew overcame seemingly insurmountable odds. Our next headline comes from UPI.com. In March 21, 1985, President Reagan expressed his eagerness to meet Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev for a summit, believing that it's high time for such a meeting to advance ongoing negotiations. Speaking at a nationally televised press conference, Reagan also emphasized his commitment to maintaining a robust defense budget, rejecting further Pentagon cuts while urging the House to approve funding for 21 MX missiles. He dismissed the idea of freezing Social Security payments and reiterated his opposition to the racial segregation in South Africa, opting for quiet diplomacy rather than sanctions. And finally, our last headline comes from BBC. It's about NASA as well. In the 1990s, NASA has launched the space shuttle Discovery from Cape Canaveral, Florida, successfully placing the Hubble Space Telescope into orbit 380 miles above Earth. The $1.5 billion telescope, 20 years in the making and 7 years overdue, will operate above the atmosphere to capture images of the universe. Despite early technical issues with its British-made solar panels, the telescope is now set for 6 months of testing. Hubble's powerful instruments are expected to revolutionize our understanding of the cosmos and provide us with views of distant galaxies and potentially revising our current theories on the universe's age and structure. And that's our headline news for this episode.
Thank you for the quote and headline news. I want to welcome four more Season 3 podcast team members to the studio for another quick Q&A time. Many of our new team members are working behind the scenes helping with marketing, writing, events, and guest invites. I have 17 on my team this year, and I'm super excited to have their energy and creativity. Let's welcome C, Micah, Camden, and Toto to the studio. Mia, go ahead and start us off with our first question.
All right, welcome to the show, guys. We're so happy to have you guys in here. Now, could you all please introduce yourself and tell us what role you play and how it contributes to the podcast success?
Hi, my name is C, and I'm a senior this year, and my role within Students Incorporated is an outreach and event specialist, and my main job is to come up with events and make sure the event runs extra smoothly. The events planned are mostly to promote our upcoming podcast or to promote a certain message to our crowd.
Hello, I'm Micah, and I'm a senior right now, and I work on a graphic design with Esther. And you can see some of our episode graphics and posters and like our fundraising stuff. So yeah, that's what I do.
I'm Camden. I'm in 11th grade and I'm the marketing and promotional specialist. I help promote the podcast.
Hello, my name is Toto and I'm a junior this year. And what I do is basically a researcher. So basically I just Google stuff and format that so it can go on the script. So if you see any headline news or quotes, that's from me.
Thank you, everyone. Our next question is this. What's something surprising or unexpected that you've learned while working on this show?
Something I definitely did not expect is how much organization and effort that needs to be put in as a whole team to create a successful event or podcast as a whole.
For me, I didn't realize just how different working on a marketing team would be from compared to that of an academic group project.
I was really surprised about how similar it is to like a normal job, and I really like how great of a practice it is for the future.
What's really unexpected was like how much time management I really need, because you know it's true that I have like work from other classes, but this is like really like important. Like marketing is really gonna go on the internet. To be on time is like it's something that's really needed. I guess I have to practice more on that.
All right, thank you guys for your answers. Now for the next question, it's a pie in the sky type of question. So it's, if we could host any guest from anywhere, past, present, or future, who would you choose and why?
If we could host any guest, I would say iShowSpeed, since he's currently in Thailand right now, and because he holds a lot of influence, and our podcast would probably go viral. But besides that, I think he is definitely a unique character, and I would think that I'd be very entertained throughout the recording progress, and I would love to see how that goes.
I think for me, I would love to have us the famous YouTuber Markiplier, because I just really liked his videos with his gamings. I've been watching him for years, and I think that it'd just be really entertaining. I'm sure a lot of people in our school would know him. So yeah.
I would choose Cindy McLaughlin Rilabroni because she holds the past 5 or 6 world records in the 400-meter hurdles at the Olympics. And I also read her book this summer, and I really loved it, and it was really encouraging to me.
I think like the guest I would call over would be Elon Musk, because like you know we never know what he's gonna do on here. So like honestly, it might inspire people, or like it might be like very funny. So like it's really unexpected what he can do.
Those are definitely interesting choices. Moving on, though, what's one or two things that you've enjoyed so far about working with your team members?
My favorite part of working with this team this year has been our team's hyper energy and the amount of fun our team can put into work while still maintaining our efficiency. And something I personally really liked doing besides my own work was helping Healy come up with fun reels with the touch of TikTok trends and recording them in general.
I think for me, what I really liked about working on the podcast is just seeing how all my peers and teammates, just how hard they work, and especially like our members like Rebecca and Premi, just how efficiently they do their work, how they lead, how they manage the meetings and stuff like that. I think it's just really impressive overall.
I have really loved getting to know my teammates, because a lot of the teammates that I work with, I didn't really know very well in the past, but now that we're working together, I get to know them that way.
I guess like working with them, like I get to feel their energy, and like knowing that I get to contribute in this is what I like about it.
All right. Thank you guys for your answers. I especially agree with what C said about like how, you know, our team this year, like we have a lot of hyper energy, but, you know, we also are able to maintain efficiency, and we're also able to, you know, produce and market like all these episodes like on time. So good job, everyone. Moving on to our final question. What's been one of your favorite episodes so far from season 1, 2, or 3? And this is assuming you have listened to some previous season's episodes.
My favorite episode was the episode with Mr. Pomi with Shake's design. And personally, the reason why I found this episode most interesting for me is because I'm really interested in designing as well. And his topic of design concepts and the importance design holds on daily life was really fascinating.
I think my favorite episode is episode 43, the musical behind the scenes. And I really liked it mainly because I was in tech my freshman year and Suzical happened in my sophomore year. And so I wasn't in tech that year by then. So just getting to see like the theater experience still and just getting a little insight from it, I thought it was very fun for me.
Oh, my favorite was the Asa Watson episode because I thought it was really cool to have a professional athlete on the podcast. And he also answered one of my questions that I submitted. So I thought that was super cool.
I guess my favorite would be the episode 1 from season 3 because like we got to know it's really our turn.
And there you have it. Some honest answers from some honest students. Thank you everybody for joining us in the studio today and for all of your hard work behind the scenes each and every week. That concludes our first segment, and we'll be right back with our second segment after this short announcement. 1, 2, 3, 4.
As high schoolers, we should be having fun in our youth and explore new opportunities all the time, which is why you all should go check out the college fair that's happening September 16th through the 20th. There will be universities such as Yale, UC Berkeley, Penn State, Hope College, and etc. I encourage you all to go and visit the college reps and talk to them. I'm sure they have free stationery, brochures, and would love to introduce you to their university. So don't forget to come and check out the universities coming to ICS the week of September 16th through the 20th.
And we are back with our second segment, and we'll be welcoming several different teachers and educators into the studio as we look at the phrase, back in the day. I know for myself, I've often said something like this when talking to someone quite younger than myself. Wanted to make a point that they have it much easier now than when I was their same age. Or when I am with someone the same age as myself, we'll say something like this to each other almost in a way to reminisce about the old days or our past. For example, I may have said to my kids something like this. Back in the day, we only had one phone in our house and it was attached to the wall with a cord. There was no such thing as having a private conversation with your friends over the phone. So something like that, saying we are going to be interviewing several teachers and educators with that type of concept in mind. So with that introduction, I'll pass the microphone over to Mia to get us started.
Hello, Mr. Dan, and welcome to the studio. Thank you so much for being our first teacher guest on this segment. So to get us started, could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do here at ICS?
Thank you for the welcome. I'm very honored to be the first one. And so, yeah, I'm a high school English teacher. I teach British literature, American literature, and creative writing right now. My family was here earlier from 2016 to 2022, and then we went back to Canada for 2 years, and now this year is our first year back, and we're really, really excited to be back in the ICS community.
All right, thank you. That's really good to know. So our theme for this segment is back in the day. So this English phrase is connected to the idea of going back into the past and reflecting on how things were done differently in the past. And some may even go as far to say back in the good old days. Anyways, our first question for you, Mr. Dan, would be, could you share a memorable back in the day moment from your early teaching years that stands out to you?
Sure. Yeah. My first year teaching, I had this really wonderful principal. I got along with him very, very well. But at the beginning of the year, he brought in all the new teachers and he said, "All right, guys, no smiling until October." And we're just like, "What? What do you mean?" He's like, "You want the kids to be a little bit afraid of you, and only then can you start smiling." And I definitely did not take that advice to heart at all. I love being able to get to know my students, you know, on the first day, get to know them well and you know, have that relationship with them.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. And Yeah, I think definitely what you said about fostering really good connections between students, no matter what your principal said, I think that was really nice of you to, you know, keep on that connection. All right, I got two more questions for you. And one of them is, if you could bring back one old school teaching tool or practice just for a day, what would it be and why?
Well, when I was a student, my favorite moment of the day or the week or the month, whatever, was when my teacher wheeled in a TV cart. So we didn't have projectors in the classroom back then. We had TV carts with VCRs and educational VHS tapes. And as soon as we saw a teacher come in with a TV cart, we knew that we were going to get something a little bit different from the everyday. So I would love to bring that back. I don't think any current students would understand at all, but anyone my age, as soon as you see that TV cart, you know it's going to be a good day.
Oh, all right. I don't think we have that anymore here at ICS. It's a little sad, but it's okay. All right. And for our final back in the day type of question for you is, what's one thing about teaching back in the day that you're secretly glad is no longer a thing?
I think back in the day, teachers had to rely on a really fixed set of resources. So teachers would teach and there would often be, you know, associated worksheets with the lesson. You'd teach, you'd have a worksheet. You'd teach, you'd have a worksheet. I feel like now with the type of communication we have, type of resources we have, we can share so much of our teaching styles. We can share so much of our learning with our colleagues. And what that's done is it's really allowed us to be a whole lot more innovative in the classroom. And so I don't miss doing things that old school, boring way. I love how teaching has become something where we can really flex our creativity.
All right. Thank you so much for your answer. And thank you again, Mr. Dan, for joining the show and sharing. Now we'll be moving on to Frank and our next special guest.
All right. Thank you, Mia. And now for our next guest, we welcome Mrs. Carly.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio.
To get us started,
could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do here at school?
I'm Mrs. Carly, or better known to my students as Prof. Carly. First of all, I would like to say that I am super offended that you even invited me onto this back in the day podcast, because it means that you obviously think I'm old enough to have back in the day stories, which is, I feel a little bit called out on that. But you're right. I am old enough to have back in the day stories because I have been at ICS, or part of ICS, for the last 16 years, actually. Yeah, my husband and I, Mr. Mike, who teaches upper elementary PE, we came in 2009, and I taught Spanish from 2009 to 2012. And then I took a break for 9 years, and I stayed at home with family. And then in 2021, right in the middle of COVID, I came back to teaching Spanish part-time for 3 years, and then this is my first year back being full-time.
That is a long time, but yeah. Speaking of time, can you think of like a teaching method or practice from back in the old times that you wish was still used today?
Back in the old times? Well, I would say that there really isn't a specific method that I think as a whole should really be revived. I think that methods are constantly evolving and emerging because of research and wanting to really improve education and learning as a whole. There's really a place for traditional teaching methods, but everything in moderation, nothing in excess, as we say. Like rote memorization, knowing how to decipher a textbook, physically taking notes instead of just having access to all the content online, and being able to pay attention during a lecture, these are all skills that students need in the future when they work in the future.
I think that's a great take on it. Also, here's a follow-up question. What are some of the biggest changes you've seen in the education since you started teaching?
I would say that the biggest shift, for better or worse, is technology. Tech has really changed all of us. And I feel like it really blew up during COVID because of online learning. And so we shifted a lot from paper and pencil to technology. And now there's just an educational platform for everything. And honestly, kids these days are just so used to instant gratification and feedback and entertainment through video games, through social media, through access to apps that have gamified every type of learning. So when they're not on a screen, they often feel bored quickly. And this has perpetuated a huge shift in expectation of the students and often teachers' teaching methods because students want to be entertained in the classroom and they lose interest quickly if their teacher is not entertaining enough. I would also say that there's been a shift in a one-size-kind-of-fits-all approach to education, focusing really more on students' needs and abilities and challenges and interests. Teachers are really forced to differentiate instruction more and teach to the visual, auditory, and tactile learners as well.
I definitely agree on that. I have to say that classes have been boring, but I'm not saying that it's the teacher's fault. It's probably how modern teaching and, you know, how their modern stuff like games, YouTube and stuff, you know, like scrolling on social media is that, you know, like dopamine, like addiction.
Yeah.
What's one thing that you're glad is no longer a thing?
This one was really a hard question. I couldn't think of like anything specific other than chalkboards and overhead projectors. And honestly, you're probably even too young to even know what an overhead projector is. But we used to have to write on like these little plastic pieces of paper. Well, not even paper, just pieces of plastic. And we would project them onto the screen. And it was just crazy. And then with chalkboards, it was just having to like clean the erasers with machine or to like clap them out so that they were clean again. I don't miss those days at all.
All right, moving on to Mia.
Thank you, Frank. Our next guest is Mr. Johan. Welcome to the studio, Mr. Johan. Could you please introduce yourself and tell us about what you do here at ICS?
Okay. สวัสดีครับ. My name is Kitikun Wangtha, and you can call me Mr. Johan. That's my nickname. I have been teaching here for, I think, 18 years already. This is going to my 19th year here as ICS. Before that, I moved from Chiang Mai, my hometown, to work in Bangkok at the Bangkok Christian College for 3 years. And after that, I have a chance to move to ICS and work here for long as my second home. And I teach Thai. I met my wife here at ICS too, and now I have two children. One is in seventh grade and fourth grade.
Yeah. All right. 18 years is a long time to be here. All right. Thank you. So our next question is, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen in education since you started teaching?
Oh, back then, I think it's really big change. That I see is about technology. In the past, in my first, I've been teaching, being a teacher for I think over 25 years, because I graduated from Chiang Mai University as a teacher, and when I graduated, I worked as a teacher from Chiang Mai and to Bangkok. I think the major thing is technology. Because in the past, when I start teaching, we don't have laptop, we don't have a copier or a scanner or even printer. We have to make like a manual print or some computer. It's very rare to use and very expensive at that time for the computer to make the textbook. And we have to go to or find some budget to make a textbook and make our worksheet or exercise sheet. So it's really hard in that time. Normally, we use the manual things like drawing or make handmade like a textbook. But nowadays, it's very convenient. We have several tools for teaching and helping the teacher make it easily and faster, like this thing. And nowadays, we have several resources that can access, like Google. You have Google, you have YouTube, several applications that help teaching. And back then, we didn't have like the thing like this. We have to go to the library to read the thick textbook or research everything and find a picture, and we have to make the copy. And sometimes it's really hard, but now it's really convenient. Everything in your hand, in your palm, and like laptop and tablet. That I think the major thing is the technology change.
Yeah, thank you for that. Because I also agree that technology for teachers, it's a really huge difference, but also for students, because when I started out here in ninth grade, like there wasn't that much AI and like ChatGPT, like what's that? But like now that I'm in like, whoa, senior year, like there's a lot of AI and ChatGPT use like inside classrooms. So I think that's also a really big change for students as well. Now, on to our next question. Could you share a memorable back-in-the-day moment from your early teaching years that stands out to you?
I think connection between teacher and student. At that time, I think the standout, the teacher and student really close. And I think the relationship is really close. But nowadays, I think a little bit different. Even we have social media, it should be make us closer, but somehow we cannot connect with the people. But I think the social, and back then when I start teaching, the teacher and student talk face to face a lot, and we spend some time to talk together. But nowadays, we have like a social life somehow, and in the social media, just kick line or just thumbs up for them. And I think the big thing is about relationship that stand out for me at that time when I come and I see a student is really, you know, the student join my wedding ceremony also. And even some, I enjoy their family and have a chance to dinner together with the student. But now today, it's hardly to do that and talk with personal student a little bit so far. And
all right, okay. Yeah, thank you so much for that. And now for our final question. What advice would you give to new teachers based on your past experiences?
I would like to give some for the new teachers. I think number one is a passion for teaching should be number one. If you know the purpose of your life, for me, I think that the gift of God that giving me the talent of the teaching. I know myself that I love teaching, and God gave me the purpose. I know the purpose, and I try to pursue that purpose of my life on serving the Lord. So I think the passion of your calling, I think God is calling everyone to be the teacher, or the new teacher, even the new teacher, I think God called them to serve here. And I want to encourage them to following your passion, following your purpose of life that God called you to serve. And secondly, I think you have to continue learning. Do not stop. I think you should learn everything. Try not to be the full cup of water, right? I think teacher should be eager and want to learn, not keep yourself and fix yourself I'm not already, or I'm expert on the kulu on that way. But teacher should be want to learn more and more, continue learning everything. Sometimes I learn from the student also, because the new generation, they learn very fast and they know a lot. Not just only teacher to be the expert, but we can learn and sharing together.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you said. I think when you're an expert in something, for example, like you're a teacher of like Thai studies, I think that when you have the opportunity to learn from students or to humble yourself in front of your students, I think it's a very brave thing to do, because I think to the students and like as a student, I think it shows us that the teacher is not trying to, you know, like put themselves in a position where they have more power over that, like more power over us. They're better than us or anything like that. So I think that when you really humble yourself in front of students, it's kind of like reaching a hand out. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with what you said. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And our next guest is Mr. Brad. Welcome to the studio, Mr. Brad.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Could you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you do here at ICS?
Sure. So my name is Brad McKenzie. I am the 9th grade English teacher at the International Community School of Bangkok. Along with teaching English, my other main role is to make the yearbook each year. So when I'm not talking about semicolons, you will usually find me with a camera. And then when I get the chance, I also enjoy coaching tennis.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Brad. Our next question is, what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in education since you started teaching?
Well, I first started teaching back in 1995, which is, well, quite a while ago. I started thinking about it. It has been a while. The teaching itself hasn't changed a whole lot. I mean, for me, my goal is still to try and help students write to the best of their ability. But the technology has definitely changed over the years. Back when I was in university studying to become a teacher, the two main tech things they taught us was how to insert slides into a slide projector and how to slice a film reel if the film projector happened to chew it up and things like that. Over the years, I mean, I remember getting my first thumb drive. It was an 8-meg thumb drive, and I was so excited that I could finally carry some stuff with me and that. Technology over the years, I mean, when photos went digital, that was a big difference, making the yearbooks with the seniors. Quite often, we'd have, like, the baby pictures come in, and so, I mean, we would get a whole pile of physical photos. And I remember the first year everything went digital and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Over the years, technology has changed. And as you know, at our school, we've now looked at least for 9th grade and below, removing the technology, thinking that it's too much. It wasn't that long ago. We looked at bring your own device and everybody should have one was kind of the idea of the day. And so, yeah, the teaching doesn't change, but the method that we do it sometimes does.
Yeah, I agree with the part where you mentioned about the technology, because I think for teachers that must have been a really big difference for you guys. But I think also from the students' point of view, it's like we're not only competing with our peers, but also with AI.
Right. Yeah. Well, AI is now the big one, eh? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, as students and as teachers, we're all kind of racing to catch up to this thing and figure out how best to use it. And so, yeah, I would think, you know, I've been teaching now for about 25, 26, 20 something years. And I would imagine the next 5 or 10, we'll see even more amazing changes going on there too.
Yes, I agree with you. All right, thank you. Now, our next question is, could you share a memorable back-in-the-day moment from your early teaching years that stands out to you?
Well, I mean, I was thinking about how far back to go with this. I've taught around the world over the last 20-odd years, and the memory that first came to mind for me was the year that I spent back in Austin, Manitoba, which is a small town in my province, Manitoba, Canada. It's got a population of only a couple hundred people. I thought I was a country person until I moved to Austin and I discovered, no, I am definitely not. There's a whole other layer to country I did not know existed. And for me, the first time I went to this school to apply for the position, I was told I would need to wait for the school, for most of the school and the principal to get back, because they were having a field trip at the creek. They went swimming in the creek was their field trip, which was a totally different thing. I mean, this school that I taught at, I taught there for a year, and it was one of the last few almost one-room schoolhouses in Canada. Like, it was, I had a class of 5 students, and during hunting season, I had a class of 1 student, a very unhappy 10-year-old girl that wanted to go out with the guys hunting but wasn't able to do so. And so there were moments there with because I had been at ICS for a couple of years, then moved there, and then came back again. But while I was there, I would hear things at recess where the girls would be outside saying, "Hey, that's my frog. Hey, that's my snake." And I'm thinking, wow, this is a totally different world than, you know, what I was at here in Bangkok. So, yeah, I mean, as far as teaching goes back in the day, I mean, as I say, the teaching itself doesn't change, but certainly, you know, where you are does make, you know, a difference.
All right. Thank you for that. And our final question is, what's one thing about teaching back in the day that you're secretly glad is no longer a thing?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily for everybody, and I'm not even sure if it's a back in the day thing. But thinking about the question, for me, I'm glad that, like, back in the day, I felt the need to travel. As a young teacher, I felt it was important to travel to lots of different parts of the world, see a lot of different places, continually travel. And to be honest, I don't miss it anymore. I'm quite happy where I'm at. I'm glad that I finally found a place where I feel I am at home, where I can stay, where I can have my kids go to school and be happy with them here. So yeah, for me, I would say just back in the day, so much traveling. When I first came to this school, I remember teachers telling me that, oh, you're teaching eighth grade, it's going to be hard, they're so difficult. And I remember thinking, wow, this is not a challenging school at all. It's a great place to be in. And so, yeah, I think I look at young teachers that are still kind of traveling to different places and they feel the need to move and that, and I wish them well. But for me, I'm quite happy to settle in and be content where I'm at.
All right. I'm very glad you're content here at ICS. Thank you, Mr. Brad, for coming, and we hope to see you again.
It's my pleasure.
Now on to our next and final guest, Mrs. Vicky. Welcome to the podcast, Mrs. Vicky. Could you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you do here at ICS?
Sure. I am Miss Vicky, and this is my third year teaching high school math. I teach honors pre-calculus and AP statistics classes.
All right. Thank you. And our next question is, can you think of a teaching method or practice from back in the day that you wish was still used today, maybe even as your time as a student?
Let's see. So I went to a very large high school in the United States where each of the grade levels was the same size as the entire high school at ICS. So it was a very large high school. But because of that, we had a huge variety of classes. Like you could take auto shop where you learned how to change your oil and change a tire. And we had woodworking and we had drafting and we had tons, just lots and lots of different, I guess I would call them elective, lots of different elective options. Yeah, and it was great. I mean, for my gym credit, I took volleyball bowling. And we went to a bowling alley, and it was super fun. So I will say, while the high school I went to was not as academically strong as ICS is, we had a lot of academic classes that we could take, tons of variety. I really enjoyed that.
All right, that sounds a lot like fun. I want ICS to have oil car changing classes now. Now, on to our next question. Could you share a memorable back-in-the-day moment from when you were in high school or college?
Sure, I think. So I studied engineering. I was an undecided engineering student when I entered college. And one of the required courses that every engineering student has to take, it was computer-aided drafting. And back then we were using AutoCAD. It wasn't that long ago, for the record, less than 20 years ago. But still, we were taking AutoCAD. It was only one credit, but we had to design this train locomotive. It had to be on tracks. The wheels had to move. All the materials had to be right. I've never done so much work in my life for a one credit class. I did more work for that class than any other class I took in college. So beware, even though the credits are different, that does not mean the workload will be the same. That's my hint.
All right. That sounds really tough, but it's okay because you made it. Now, on to our final question. What's one thing about schools back in the day that you secretly glad is no longer a thing?
Ooh, I will say that where I went to high school in Colorado in the U.S., homecoming was a very big deal. And it's where it's basically a spirit week for like a week. But as you go up through the ranks, right, freshman to senior, there are a lot of traditions associated with that. And one of the big traditions that they got rid of between my freshman and sophomore year was a large hazing tradition. So seniors could pick a freshman, and the freshman would pretty much do whatever the senior wanted for the week. So at my school, we had this thing called push a penny, where they would put a penny on a floor, and freshmen would have to race across the hallway pushing the penny with their nose. Now, thankfully for me, my older sister was a junior when I was a freshman, so I would have been like the first choice to be her servant basically for a week. But I broke my ankle the Friday before this started, so she had mercy on me and chose one of my friends instead. So I didn't actually have to do it, but there were like a whole bunch of hazing rituals associated with being an underclassman versus being an upperclassman. But they really cracked down on that with the bullying and hazing traditions. So I'm glad that no longer exists. Homecoming is still a really big deal. It's still super important to be a senior. You get to wear a toga because you rule the school. There's like whole, all those things are still great. But thankfully, they've taken out the hazing portion of it.
All right. Thank you for that. I think hazing at ICS would be very interesting. But yeah, that's all for us today. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again to some of our more seasoned teachers and educators for joining us on this segment and for helping take us back to the past for just a bit. Reminiscing about the past can be fun. It helps remind us about how things have changed, for better or worse. So the next time we feel the urge to use the phrase back in the day, it's okay for us to mourn and reminisce about some of those things. And it's also okay to forget some of those things that are better left in the past. Stay tuned for our next episode as we introduce you to the remainder of our Season 3 podcast team, along with presenting you with a free class on marketing, something we'd like to call our Marketing 101 episode. And as always, this podcast would not be possible without the hard work and support of our international student production team.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives, sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we are signing off until next time. We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.